This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
To Beyonce.
Well, now, whatever happened to her?
Oh, no, Beyonce is around, but she's in hiding at the moment.
Well, she's...
She's heavily pregnant with the twins at the moment.
She's in gestation. Is that what the official term is?
Yeah, but I think that's one of the terms you can use for pregnancy, because it's a gestation of sorts, yes. But yeah, she is heavily pregnant. She was spotted out having dinner, and they did the shielding type thing, but they did get some photos of her.
Right.
And you can tell she's having twins. But they're also getting the...
Did these twins fold like the last one?
No. These ones do not fold.
Right. Okay.
No. Blue Ivy was a
very flexible
origami baby.
Yeah, but yeah.
These ones, no.
No.
But they're getting the nursery ready. And quite frankly...
That's most parents
I know,
do.
But it looks like these two kids are the kind of kids who have obviously won Tats Lotto before even being born.
Well, you're being
like
born
the lottery
to
of life, they win.
Look, money-wise, they are very lucky children.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure if I want Jay-Z to as my dad.
But I'll have Beyonce as my mum, thanks. My next life. I want to come back as another one of her children.
Oh, all right.
It might not work out time-wise, but anyway, whatever. They've set out there, they've got the lovely new bassinets, the bassinet cot things.
Yeah.
They've got some beautiful ones from Dodo. That's apparently a very fancy brand. They're actually 18-karat gold plated.
Oh.
And they cost...
Wouldn't that be cold and uncomfortable?
No, Chris. They cost $53,000 each.
Holy
They're not going to be cold and uncomfortable. They come fitted with champagne silk bedding, silk changing mat, and custom wheels. Mm-hmm. Oh, and...
I just want that sort of money just for a day.
I want it forever. and they've got some nice new dummies for the babies as well.
Have they?
Now, these ones sound a bit cold and impersonal. I'm assuming there's a rubber piece on them.
Mm.
But they're actually made out of diamond and gold.
Oh, they'd be a bit heavy.
Oh, well, you know, hey.
You know, and the whole...
The children can work on their face muscles, all right?
They spit them on the floor, you run them under the hot water, you stick them back in the mouth. I mean,
Chris, that's what the servants are for. They cost $111,000 a piece.
Jesus Christ.
Now, you just think, how many times do parents lose dummies?
Lots.
Now, if anybody's...
You go to the supermarket and buy a 20-pack.
I know, but if you're wandering around near where Beyonce lives and you find looking and you see a dummy on the ground...
Don't give it back.
No, you check it. You check it.
Joy. On the line, given that technology works today, I should have Tegan Higginbotham with us. Hello, Tegan.
Hello, it's still working. I'm still here.
Yay. All right. So Tegan is actually a comedian, a writer, an actor. She is based in Melbourne generally. She's a regular contributor to The Age, and you may have seen her on Whose Line Is It Anyway? She also happens to be in a show in the Melbourne Comedy Festival right now. Welcome to Joy, Tegan.
Thank you, and thank you for making me sound so thoroughly important. It's really nice when people list everything in a row. You're like, oh, that makes my self-esteem much better for the day.
Well, very, very quickly, you're actually appearing in Watson's Go to Hell, the show of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival right now.
I am. We're over at the Malthouse, and we've got three shows left, which is really exciting in that I will be able to have my nights back, but really sad because this probably been one of the funnest shows we've done. It's a big horror comedy, so we get to scare the audiences in between making them laugh, and it's just been a really fun time, yeah.
Now, did I see also that you're up in the running for one of the festival awards?
No, we have. We've been nominated for some stuff in the past and won some things in the past. This year, not the case. So there are some incredible shows that have been nominated this year, including one that we are pretty happy to see nominated was Rama Nicholas's show. She's also at the Malthouse, and she's doing a show about erotica and sexy books, and it's a really great show.
Okay, cool. All right, so I did see that you were an award-winning show. There we go.
Yes.
Got it. Excellent.
Yeah, we're just holding on to that one for a few more years. That
one, that's all we do. Now, we don't want to talk to you about any of that stuff anymore now because Cam and I, as our listeners would very well know, we are major, major Doctor Who fans. And, and you have become involved in a new project that's happening on ABC2 called, quite appropriately, Whovians, which is what all Doctor Who fans refer to ourselves as. But we need to, now you and this. The show's being hosted by Rove McManus. It's got you. It's got Adam Richard, who is a friend of the show, friend of the station, and we know a crazy, crazy Whovian as well. But we thought we needed to put a few things to the test just to find out at what level Whovian Tegan Hickenbotham actually is. Now, Cam, you've got a couple of questions we need to answer.
Well, the usual question everyone must know, though, is who was your childhood doctor?
Well, for me, there was no child.
Oh, that's right. You're too young.
I was too young. My mum was a big old Whovian when she was younger. She was one of those people who talked about hiding behind the couch to watch the show. She found it terrifying and wonderful. So I had seen, you know, bits and pieces of the older series. I, of course, watched the Paul McGann television series when that was on. Sorry, the TV movies. But, yeah, for me it was when Chris Eccleston, you know, arrived back on the screen. That is when I properly fell in love with Doctor Who. And I still, to be honest, jump between saying that Tennant and Eccleston are my favourites, but it is definitely one of those two.
Wow.
She's so fresh.
You're very fresh. I think... So
completely, yeah.
Are you saying that the McGann TV movie was the first actual Doctor Who you watched?
Well, I'd seen a few episodes that I'd been shown by my parents, but nothing, you know, not like we would sit down there every weeknight and watch Who, yeah. So that would probably be one of the earlier memories of getting back into Who. And the excitement was channeled through my parents because at this stage I was like, so who's the guy with the curly hair? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I got to say, because anybody who became a Doctor Who fan after seeing that Doctor Who movie, I am impressed at your dedication.
Well, I happen to be a big McGann fan, so, you know, it's that helps, I suppose.
He aged well into it afterwards,
now,
I think.
Now, in the first episode of Whovians that went to air this week, and it was referred to, of course, you have a very famous namesake Australian Doctor Who character.
From Brisbane.
Have you familiarised yourself with Tegan Yavanka's exploits now that you know this?
Yeah, look, I have a bit, and it was an interesting day when I finally sat down and decided to get to know my namesake, because Jesus, she's annoying. she's not my favourite companion. I will, you know, I will try to
replace
as much as I can. But, you know, and I just heard because Dad loved this character. But even he then, you know, years on, got shown clips from her and was like, oh, yeah, she's not quite what I remembered her being. So I'm named after somebody that everybody's kind of, like, lukewarm about. It's really disappointing.
Funnily enough, I've watched a lot of the behind-the-scenes episodes where the actress that played Tegan comes on, and she's actually a very funny lady in real life.
Janet Fielding.
Janet Fielding, yeah. So
I've heard this, and I've also heard that some of the accent trouble may have been because she, you know, she's an Australian actress, went over and was trying to get work in London for such a long time that, as all Australians do, she lost her Aussie accent. And then she got cast in this Australian role, which is why it was all really like, oh, doctor, get back to the chat. And she'd forgotten how to speak Australian.
So they had to do an uber Australian.
Now,
exactly.
Now, of this Whovian series that is being presented by Rove, and you are one of the panel members, how did it come about that you got asked to do this?
Well, I'm a big nerd at heart. Harry Potter is probably my main thing. And then in there is, you know, I love Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, very fond of it. And I just one night that happened to have a big long chat with Rove about Doctor Who, and we're both just fanning out and, you know, having big long conversations about it. And then all these years later, this dream job has come along. Unfortunately, I was asked to be part of it, and it is just dream job stuff. Like, I sit home and re-watch episodes of Doctor Who, and it's like, I'm working. Like, it's really solid, actually. I'm very happy.
Now, the first episode went to air last week. It was all very exciting. New
the pilot.
The pilot, which it was. I thought it was a great episode. But one of the key things for our community here on Joy is, of course, we have the first very clearly out and proud lesbian companion, and this is amazing.
It is, and I love the fact that, you know, Pearl Mackie is such a beautiful, beautiful performer. Like her performance in that first episode where she's looking at the photos of her mum was just incredible. So, you know, I think that whenever there's a new companion, there's a lot of pressure on them because people are just really quick to cut people down. But Bill Potts is such a solid character. I find it's an interesting thing that with all women in the Doctor Who universe, I find that sometimes, well, a lot of the time they're having to kind of declare their sexuality, and their sex is always a big part of the female characters on Who, which is something I find a little bit jarring occasionally, but I think exceptional. I mean, what a great character, and it's awesome that she's, you know, such a strong, fantastic lesbian character with incredible fashion sense, clearly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, give us your roundup of the pilot. What did you think of the episode?
I really liked it. I thought that it was shot beautifully. The cinematography in that episode was wonderful. I just said Bill Potts' Pearl Mackie's performance as Bill Potts, great. And I do think that it achieved what it hoped to achieve, which is it was a really good jumping on point for people who may not be hardcore Doctor Who fans. So I know that sometimes when there are series that have been going on for years and years and years, it can be almost overwhelming as somebody who wants to watch it. Where do I start watching? Like, do I have to go up and watch all the old series? Do I have to go back to, what was it, 2010 and watch all the Eccleston stuff? This is a good episode that if somebody just had to start completely fresh with Doctor Who, they could have watched that and known exactly what was going on. And I think that's really, really exciting to bring in new fans.
Yeah, cool. Now, there's been a lot of very, very short snippet preview shots of characters to come in this series, and it's all looking very, very exciting. We've got an exciting. We saw a little snippet of Missy in there. We've seen a snippet of also of the Master as well, and you know we're all questioning. Well, how can that happen?
Timey wimey, wibbly wobbly.
It could be timey
wimey, pashy washy. I just wanted to make out so badly.
Because
I'm the sort of person who I like YouTube clips of Mulder and Scully from X-Files kissing. This is just something I do. Like, lots of, like, teenage girls have clearly put up compilations to terrible music of them kissing. It's what I live for. But now it's all about the Master.
So you want the Master kissing him herself?
Mm.
Wow. Yes,
oh, very timey-wimey. But now, I personally have to say I am excited to see the proper old-school Mondasian Cybermen come back after, what is it, 50-something years in the wilderness?
Yeah, I know for a fact that Rove and Adam Richard are both pretty excited about this as well, with some speculation about whether they're in the vault. I don't know.
It could be all of these things. Look, it sounds like we could just keep talking about this forever, but now the next episode goes to air on the ABC on Sunday night at 7:40, and then Whovians is straight after that at 8:30 on ABC 2. You've got a couple of little exclusives for us on this week's show as well.
Yeah, we do, which is really fun. And, you know, we get to watch the show with the live audience who are in at the studio. And I think as it goes on, we'll probably get a lot more people tweeting in and hopefully, like, taking part in conversations over social media and all that sort of stuff. So it is kind of just this really nice little hour where you can just be an out and out nerd, and that's cool. Like, you can really get into all the fan theories, and and I think this week will be another really fun episode.
All right, fantastic.
Now, I do have to say though, at some point during the run of Whovians this year, can you please do us all a favour and turn up in a beautiful Tegan Jovanka Air Hostess outfit?
I have been looking for it. You won't believe how much. All right, so I found the Bill Potts puff yellow jacket that she wore. because I personally wanted to just dress up for this entire series. You know, I wanted to cosplay the whole thing. And the first episode was going to be me in the purple, flight attendant costume. And I haven't been able to find one yet that doesn't look like it's made out of crepe paper. But if I get my hands on one, oh boy, that will be all I wear for the rest of time.
You need to talk to Adam Richard, and he needs to get a couple of drag queen seamstresses up and on it for you.
I will sort that out.
Tegan, it's been wonderful talking to you, and we're loving the new series of Doctor Who already, and we're loving seeing Whovians and seeing Australians chatting about this as well. So it's a great new innovation for Australia. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks, Tegan. That's Tegan Higginbotham, who is one member of the panel of the new ABC 2 show Whovians, which follows directly after Doctor Who on a Sunday night, 8:30 on ABC 2. I catch it every week because you have to, because you're Whovians.
Yeah, I've got the Foxtel set to record it. Now it's time for some sad news.
Sad news.
You may have already heard, but as you know, there's been the trouble over in the Ukraine. Sorry, just Ukraine.
Ukraine.
My
over
mistake.
In Ukraine.
Although I did notice Isaiah actually said he's off to the Ukraine.
I know. I saw that. Oh, Isaiah, you need to learn your PC-ness.
Drop the. Mm. Now, but over in Ukraine, you know the trouble between them and Russia?
Yes.
The out there trouble, but also the Eurovision trouble.
But look, Russia was setting it up right from the start. They picked a contestant they knew was already banned from Ukraine.
That's right. And they made sure she was a poor, as even she said, I don't know why everybody's picking on me. I'm a poor little girl.
Yes.
She actually said that. Oh. And we looked at her and went, doll, you're a pawn.
You knew.
A pawn.
Oh, yes.
But as you know, so there was those troubles. It has now come to a head.
Mm.
Russia is out.
The EBU gave like four different options for the, competing by satellite and a couple of other things, and Russia
pick another singer. They were allowed that option as well, which technically you wouldn't be allowed to because it had passed the point of
entries.
They were allowed to choose a new entrant if they wished to.
And Russia
said
they
rejected that as well.
We're coming or not.
So Channel 1, which is the Russian channel, does not consider it was possible to continue with the entry. And they also said, as we're not having an entry, we're not broadcasting.
No!
Either. So
they're punishing the Russian people.
Yep. They have pulled the broadcast altogether.
You know, there's nothing like inciting hatred on both sides. Just that little bit more, is there? You know? Oh, my God.
So that means there are now only 42 countries competing for Eurovision this year.
Better chances for us. Better odds.
Russia would most likely have got through into the final. So this means that somebody else that probably wouldn't have got through will actually get through. But the EBU are not happy with this situation.
Oh, I thought it was their decision in the end.
No. Russia pulled out in the end.
Oh.
There was deadlines and Russia said, well, screw you all. We're taking our act and we're going home.
Righto.
So the EBU, though, have strongly condemned yet again the Ukraine and their travel ban on the, what's her name? The chick, Julia. Right. Julia. And they condemned the travel ban that was put on her because they want the Eurovision should be above politics. Oh, they're so naive, aren't they?
Not above immigration
so naive.
Laws. Yes.
But they're hopeful that it will still be a very spectacular and successful Eurovision this year.
I'm sure. Is Australia going to win?
No.
No.
I haven't actually heard the other entries, but I'm...
Oh, no,
I don't...
You've heard an Onionism.
Yeah, but I haven't heard... All 40 other ones.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're as strong as last year.
No, I don't either.
But who knows?
I actually think Denmark, Anya's Australian-written, produced and sung entry for Denmark has actually got a top five, I reckon. That's my prediction right now.
Well, look, if we can't win it personally, we can win it not so personally.
Absolutely. I'm all for barracking for Anya. She's amazing.
I have no problem there.
Yeah.
But look, hopefully he does well.
Yeah. He's no Dami him, unfortunately.
No. Queen Dami. Put her back next year if we're allowed back again. I don't know. To Beauty and the Beast, the movie. Now, as you know, there have been some religious types who've had some issues with it. They started off having the issues with that 14-second homosexual scene in it. It's not a very long one, but apparently big problems.
Hang on. There's homosexual porn in Beauty and
No, the... I said scene, oh. not porn, oh. scene. The well, movie figured... is rated PG, Chris.
Oh, okay. So what do they do?
Oh, there's I believe it's like a longing glance or something like that.
Oh, there's not even any physical contact.
No, rooty tooty.
They don't know anything about homosexuals. So.
No, they don't. But finally, one of the religious types has noticed one of the more, well, you know, pressing problems of the movie. The film has now come under fire from evangelicals for featuring a young girl who falls in love with a buffalo. That's right. They finally noticed it's Beauty and the Beast.
It's bestiality.
That is
it's
it.
It's glorification of bestiality.
That is the thing. They've said it's Disney's first attempt to bring explicit homosexuality scenes into a movie designed for kids. And it is, you know, it's indoctrinating and all that sort of thing. And he said, and it appears that liberals are okay with interspecies breeding. You know,
because that's a
and
thing.
The Beast, because that dude is obviously an animal in real life. But
I wonder if these people did biology class.
No, because that's sinful.
Oh.
All right,
that might actually teach Darwinian.
No. God did it. And then, as he said, you know, we should not allow this. We cannot allow humans to interbreed with other species. It's wrong.
No, well, I'm pretty sure science has taken care of that.
I know. Now, look, do we need to just take a step back for them and help them here?
No.
These Christians...
Let them wallow in their stupidity, I say.
We have to say, look, you do understand it's a fairy tale and a movie. And the whole idea is he was cursed, and by the time they're doing any breeding...
Witchcraft!
He's back
he
to be...
cursed!
Oh, actually, yeah, it's
witchcraft
as well,
it's,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's like the Harry Potter movie. You're just adding to it now.
All right, so I'm sorry.
So your explanation was
so people,
didn't help.
You shouldn't go see Beauty and the Beast because it's full of hidden homosexuality and bestiality.
And witchcraft.
And witchcraft, too. Oh, my God.
It's just bad. Sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, we better go see it. Yeah. We might take a child with us. I wonder what Ava's doing. I am the bearer of bad tidings for all you Prince fans out there, unfortunately.
Really?
Now, in case you hadn't heard, there was an EP of unreleased Prince tracks that was coming out, which was actually by a producer who'd done some work with Prince, and they had these five tracks, I think it was, sitting in a vault somewhere.
Yeah.
Not in Prince's vault.
Oh, his vault.
It was actually with the producer. But he had the tracks.
But he needed permission from Prince to release.
Yes, so he had them all. They were already on pre-order on all iTunes and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
It was actually to come out tomorrow American time, Friday. So it was on pre-order. They'd taken, let's be honest, a lot of pre-orders.
So that means that the music had been fully completed. Uploaded to iTunes, all of that
It was
stuff.
All there ready to go. Yeah. It was on all of the iTunes, Amazon, all the rest of them. Anyone who bought the pre-sale got one track instantly.
Right. They got an instant grab track.
Yes. So they got one of the songs instantly. So that was part of it.
Right.
But... Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the person who'd put them all up there had not got permission from Prince's estate.
Oh, dear.
So Prince's estate took him to court.
Right.
And the judge agreed with Prince's estate. So pre-sale ended. These tracks will not be being released tomorrow now.
So anyone who downloaded that track...
If you got that track, you are one of the few that will have that track because it will now not be being released.
Will they get a refund for their pre-order?
I would imagine they will get that back, but you'll get...
Will Apple ask you to delete and destroy your downloaded track that you now own illegally?
Possibly. But I'm sure they won't be, because I guess now that track will be widely distributed.
In every Prince fan's collection forevermore now.
Yes. Yeah. So if you got it,
It'll be distributed across the internet in any way, that it can be now.
I'm sure you'll find it out there. But if you were waiting on the pre-orders and you were going to get deliverance tomorrow, you will not be getting it tomorrow. Yeah. It's been removed from all of the systems. If you search for it on any of your music things now, it does not come up as available anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gone. The matter returns to court in May. to determine the future of the music and whether it has to be returned or not.
Right.
But until then, if you got that song, well done. Otherwise, you get nothing.
Oh, never mind. All right. you feel a bit sorry for the Prince fans, really, because they...
Well, look, if you had pre-ordered it, you have got the song.
True.
So you've got one song out of it. And if you haven't got it yet, like you said, it'll be out there. Let's be blunt.
Yep.
And you know it full well, at some point, there is a lot of Prince material that will be coming from the official channels.
Eventually.
And it will include these songs because they want them returned to the estate.
Possibly.
No, that's what they want.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
The X-Files.
X-Files.
As you know, huge series. And then they had the big one last year where they had the reunion, the reboot, the comeback.
Yes,
all of that. Which, of course, they ended on a cliffhanger.
Of course they did.
For this one-off not being repeated season that they did.
Yes.
Which you all of a sudden knew, oh, so they're going to do another series.
They're going to do another one
next
year.
And yes, it is now official. They are doing another
Mulder
series.
Mulder and Scully are back again.
Especially Mulder because he's currently unemployed.
Is he?
Yeah. David Duchovny, his show that he was doing got axed.
Which one was that?
He was doing...
Because he did Californication for a while.
Oh, yeah, that was years ago. Something called Aquarius. I don't actually know what it is, but it just got cancelled.
Right.
So he's available.
Good.
Whereas Gillian, she's like really busy. She's doing all sorts of stuff. She's very busy over in the UK.
Advertising plastic surgery, probably. Because she's, you know...
Well, I will say, she is looking quite good. Whereas David, you look at him and go, oh, dude, you're looking a bit hanging, aren't you? But I digress.
He's aged naturally. She's aged monetarily.
Well. But they are going to start production of the new series of The X-Files in the US summer. So that would be our winter. So in the next few months.
Okay.
It's going to be a 2017-18 season. So it means it will be airing... over our summer, which would be their winter.
Right.
You know, it's in the crossover period for the years.
So it's not till the end of this year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're going to make it still. It hasn't even been made yet. Okay. Now, and I'm hoping, I know this is something that The X-Files doesn't do well, but I would like some closure.
No, you
I
don't.
I want
no.
something
no.
to be no. finalised.
0427JOY949, should The X-Files ever have closure? There's a question. I mean, as far as The X-Files should never have closure. It just doesn't, it's not designed for that. It's always supposed to be open-ended. It's supposed to leave you asking questions at the end of the day.
No.
Tristan.
Would there be a gay or a lesbian person in the X-Files?
Probably. I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sure there's been some homies in there somewhere along the way.
Oh, there have, yeah. Mostly axe murderers, but, you know, we do that.
Well, you know, the gays like to kill, obviously, according to Hollywood. So I want closure this time because I don't want another cliffhanger. I don't want another,
email on here at joy.org.au. Should Cam get his closure on The X-Files or should it just be forever, open-ended? Should every episode end with a question?
No. I'm answering it right now. No. But anyway, this potentially last series, but possibly not, depending on the ratings, season of The X-Files will be coming at the end of this year.
All right. Looking forward to that.
I know. Everything I want to watch is either at the end of this year or next year.
We had to
Westworld, not till next year.
I know.
The Shannara Chronicles season 2, not until next year.
We've still got, like, 1,000 seasons of Game of Thrones to catch up. We're only up to episode 2.
I was bored.
I got told again we have to get to episode 9 before it gets exciting.
It's like a chore. It's like, I'm being punished. I have to go and watch Game of Thrones again.
Anzac Day. We'll be home all day. We can watch it. We can binge watch it.
Oh, God.
I'll buy you chocolate.
You better buy me a few kilos, which will end up around my waist. TV dating kind of weird shows. Now, as you know, there's a whole raft of them. You've got Married at First Sight. You've got First Dates type one. You've
that
got that
dreadful Undressed on SBS.
Oh, that vile piece of trash. There's that one where they swap hideous partners with each other to try
wife
and work
swap.
Out. No, not wife swap. 7 Year Itch.
Oh, yeah.
Those sort of ones. Oh, no. They're tame.
Tame.
There's some new ones coming from Italy and Spain.
Homes of all things crazy. Wasn't Big Brother originally a Spanish production?
No, it was Dutch or something like that.
Oh, it was Dutch. Endemol, yeah, yep. It was Dutch. Yeah.
The latest one, there's an Italian game. These are all the ones that are now available for purchase by networks around the world for use in their own.
Whether it be Foxtel or Netflix or Stan. Or
Nine or Ten. Or,
true, yeah.
You know, actually, it'll probably be Seven or Nine who will buy these. The Italians have got a game show where couples snoop into their partner's mobile phones.
Ooh. You know what? That's actually quite a juicy idea, because that's been the cause of many, many breakups in the last decade, as people have not realised that what they put on their mobile phones can be read by other people.
So that one's called The Phone Secrets. Mm-hmm. And it actually, what it does, it gives the participants total and utter unfettered access to their fresh love interests, phone messages and social media accounts and emails and everything.
It's only going to work, though, is if the person whose phone you're getting they haven't been warned that someone's going to get access to their phone, because, you know, you can clear your messages and have you.
But they can, I don't know, whatever. But that's the premise of it.
Wow.
So you have to do that. Right. And then there's the Spanish one, which is a dating show, and that one uses hackers to spy on potential dates.
Well, there's some ethical things happening here.
Oh, Chris,
here.
It's reality television. There are no ethics.
True.
What are you thinking of?
True. We can get psychiatrists to match people for ratings rather than based on...
Chris, they're relationship experts. They have no freaking clue because they're all single. Oh, sorry, that's Married at First Sight, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. So anyway, there's two of the new ones that are coming, quite frankly. When they start, I'm going to watch them.
But so are these ones, we're going to watch the originals, or we're going to create our own local copies?
These are, what do they call
ideas.
It?
Ideas.
Yeah, these are, whatever they call
concepts.
It. Yes.
They're concepts.
And they actually sell the show like this as a... you know, you buy it off
the
shelf.
Here's the formula. Yes. Now you put your people in.
Same as if you did Big Brother, or Married at First Sight, or First Dates, or any of those ones. Mm. They're all off-the-shelf concepts that are then localised with local people.
I like the phone one. I think that's going to get juicy. And my God, could you get some gays in that one?
Oh, God, yeah. So all you gays out there, you better beware.
Start clearing your phones now.
If your fresh partner says, can I just borrow your phone?
Or some TV producer rings you out of the blue and says, just need to check your phone.
We're thinking you might be perfect for our upcoming show, but we do need your phone.
Hey, brand new music for you now, Cameron. You know Mr. Joe Jonas.
Yes, the lesser Jonas. I've said it a million times and I'm sticking to it.
I don't know that he's the lesser.
He is.
No, he's a little bit older than Nick.
Yeah, and a little uglier. Only a little bit.
Neck down. Can't tell.
Just a waffer.
Neck down. In the studio now is a man we've been missing. He's been not here. He's had... Jaden did a great job filling in for him, however.
That he did.
Oh. But Justin's back on board. Hey, Justin.
I came in at the wrong time. I should have... Damn it. Oh, excuse me.
It happens all the time, Justin and Justin.
Yes.
You're back for Lose Control.
I am back to Lose Control, and I lost a lot of control while I was in the States as well.
I know. You're away in the US. Yes. Visiting family, visiting the hometowns.
And I went to... the Pump restaurant from Lisa Vanderpump sort of show.
Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to be on the show?
No, but the waiters at that bar, like, it's seriously just nothing but these beautiful, like Latino and Spanish men. So, like, just like, it's, it was beautiful.
Well, she doesn't employ ugly people.
No, she
doesn't. They don't look good on telly.
No, but it was, I was just amazed at the quality of men at that place.
All right, but now I do have to ask the question. All right, the waiters and that were beautiful, but was the food any good?
Wait, food? What did we eat there? No, but the cocktails were great.
The cocktails.
I'm going to stress the cut.
All right, yeah.
Right, so they could do drinks.
And a bit more. yeah, so great to have you. Like, great to see you guys as well.
Did you pick up?
he did. Right, which one? How many?
That's as much as you'll get. Find out tonight on Lose Control. Look what I did there.
All right. But you are pumped. You arrived back in the country on Tuesday. You're totally jet lagged, which means that the show's going to be amazing.
I was pumped as I can be for having been away for the last
couple of days.
18 hours. No, 17. Yeah. It's all right. It's going to be a good night. So tonight is all about... So Kendrick Lamar just released an album, which is a surprise album. So tonight is all about surprise album releases. And just maybe, because Ariana Grande, usually a frequent guest of ours, we may play a bit of her because she's coming to Melbourne.
She is,
I cannot wait. Huge fan.
Yeah. Well, I am actually a fan of Ariana Grande.
Really?
Well. Oh, my God.
That surprises me.
No. Because, like, all right, she mixes between a little bit of hip-hop, a little bit of R&B, and a little bit of pop.
A little bit of country.
But... her voice, like, as far as I'm concerned, you put her and Mariah together and I would take Ariana.
Wow.
Right, so that's... I'm a big fan of Ariana Grande as a talent.
Speaking of Mariah Carey, I'm just going to say this, that I watched Be Mariah, whatever it's called.
Mariah's World?
It is the worst show. It is so bad. It is so bad.
Like, it makes her look so bad.
It does, but at the same time, the way that the filters and the Vaseline and the lenses and, like, it's so set up. Like, there's no reality
with it. Every pose for every shot.
Even when she's on the phone, is like, come here, darling. Like, makeup full in a bedroom gown and talking to her kids. And, I digress.
And it still makes her look bad.
So surprise albums.
Yes.
So, obviously,
Kendrick Lamar, I got Lamar. Beyonce, Rihanna, Drake. And because she scored the soundtrack of my trip, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, well, yeah, because she put out the surprise B-sides.
Yes.
All right. Sounds like a great show. Yes. Excellent. That's all coming up. It's after 7 o'clock tonight.
That's all right. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Justin.
Now, just before you keep going, we do have to do a big congratulations out to one of our musical heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You never know. At some point in the future, Justin, if you become a citizen.
Yes.
We've got to say a big congratulations to Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, for joining her husband in being a recipient of an OBE.
She got an OBE.
Posh is now a member, an officer of the Order of the British Empire. So you can see what I mean. You've got to become a British citizen.
Does one do that? How do you do that clapping sound as well? Where's that coming from?
Your hands go together.
Make it stop.
It's one of the things you do on radio. It's a little button.
It's actually a full crowd. We have an audience.
He is jet lagged.
Congratulations to Pass. Tune in to Lose Control with Justin after 7 o'clock.
Now, I do have to say to everybody, now you remember one of the classics of 1960s television, I Dream of Jeannie.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say it because that show was utter brilliance.
Larry
that
Hagman
and Bewitched
and,
loved them.
Yep.
Now, you remember the bottle that Jeannie used to live in?
Mm.
It's an actual bottle, and it still exists.
I don't think she actually lived in it.
No.
But
she wanted to.
Yeah.
It still exists, and it is now up for sale. The original Jeannie bottle from I Dream of Jeannie. Now, it's not the one with the furniture inside. I will point that out to everybody.
It's the prop.
Yes, which was actually, it was actually a Jim Beam bourbon whiskey decanter.
Oh, okay.
The Christmas special from 1964.
Wow.
Which they actually just slapped a bit of gold paint on.
So how much have they put a price on it?
They have put a price on it.
Yeah.
And it's up for auction. How much does one or two think that it's going to go for?
Five mil.
How much?
I always say they will sell to Tristan in a heartbeat. A bit less.
I reckon it's got to be in the tens of thousands. I reckon between 30 and 40,000.
See, it always happens. Tristan offers too much and Chris offers too little.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to get the actual Jeannie bottle from I Dream of Jeannie, it's up for auction. They reckon it's going to get $135,000.
Okay.
And it is literally just an old booze bottle that they slap some paint on. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.